everyone. I'm Dr. Trevor Cates. Welcome to the Spa Doctor Show, where we talk about health tips and strategies to help you be smart, sexy, and strong. On today's show, I have as my guest Dr. Mark Minolacino. And Dr. Mark is the medical director for the Minow Clinic Center for Advanced Medicine in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. He has over 30 years of healthcare experience. He's one of the very few physicians that is board certified as an internal medicine specialist, board certified in integrative holistic medicine, a certified functional medicine practitioner, as well as a board certified in advanced hormone management and anti-aging medicine. He also has a master's degree in pharmacology and immunology. On today's show, we talk about functional medicine and the inside approach to optimizing health. We talk about a number of different topics, including what us functional medicine and naturopathic medical doctors do to look for underlying causes of health problems. For example, Dr. Mark shares some of the things that he looks for on a physical exam that show nutritional deficiencies. Some of these might actually surprise you. So enjoy the show. Welcome, Dr. Mark.
Thank you, Trevor. Great to be here.
So, functional medicine doctor, how did you get into doing functional medicine? Let's start off with your background.
That's a great question, Trevor. And it seems like all of us have a story that got us to want to do this kind of medicine. And I'm the fourth doctor in my family. All three boys are internists. My sister's a psychiatrist. My dad was a psychiatrist. When I was a senior in high school, Dean Ornish showed up in Omaha, Nebraska with this crazy idea that he could take 100 people who've had heart attacks and are scheduled for bypass surgery, talk them out of the surgery, and teach them how to eat, how to exercise, how to meditate, and how to love, and they'll do better than the people that had a bypass. That was unheard of back then. I thought that was pretty great. And I knew that's the kind of medicine that I didn't want to practice long term. I worked with him as head research tech. He's now my mentor, one of my good friends. And he was right. So many years later, his group's done better. And we know that that model of medicine, in the end of the day, is a much more successful, compassionate, healthy way to live.
That's great. I'm so glad that you learned that early on rather than had to figure that out later on.
Right. Really fortunate. And those messages carry with me every day.
That's great. Great. Okay. So how do you help with your patients in your practice with achieving optimal health, with having glowing skin and helping them with, you know, slowing down the aging process, all the things that you and I have talked about?
Well, I think it's really trying to individualize it. It's not a one-size-fits-all. We're all unique in such individual diversity that the key is to tap into what works. You know, we were taught in medical school to motivate people by fear and guilt. You know, if you eat one more donut, you're going to get diabetes. And what we're trying to do, Trevor, as you do in your practice, let's provide information to empower people with knowledge, to encourage them to have good behavior based on their. And if we can meet them in that space, we tend to get great outcomes. People love that type of medicine, and it's a fun way to practice.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are some of the kinds of tools that you use in your practice?
Well, we start with nutrition. And really, at the end of the day, I don't believe in diets because the D-I-E. And so I think it's really trying to look at food sensitivities and food intolerances. I'm looking at someone's individual diversity of what fits their schedule, their belief system, their family of origin, what they can do and be successful with, and not try to put my personal belief in nutrition onto them, but find a plan that'll work for them. And when you're talking about the skin, probably the most important thing that's going to happen on the outside is what you do on the inside. We do IV nutritionals. We do the food sensitivity testing. We balance hormones for both men and women. We use hyperbaric oxygen, particularly after our CO2 laser treatments, which is a real boon for people. Like yourself, Trevor, we're here in 7,000 feet. You're in Park City. We're in Jackson Hole. And it's a challenging climate. Low oxygen tension, high sun exposure, a lot of athletic, extreme athletes that we work with. And even the average athlete's a pretty extreme athlete anywhere else. And so they get a lot of exposure on the sun and a lot of trauma to the skin. And really trying to find a way to balance that trauma with their internal environment so that they have the look that they're looking for and the health and quality of the skin that they deserve.
Great. Let's talk about some of the things that you mentioned. You mentioned IV nutrient therapy. So will you explain what that is and how you use it?
Yeah, if you try to get your nutrition from food, so much of it will get to the cells If you take targeted nutraceuticals, which I formally believe in high quality targeted nutraceuticals, you get a much more targeted therapy. But when you IV infuse nutritional supplements, you get a mainline effect. You supersaturate the cells for maximum efficiency and absorption. And it's we start with the Myers cocktail, named after Dr. Myers, a naturopath that developed the concept of IV nutritionals. We also use glutathione that we push after the Myers nutritional IV. We do use IV vitamin C in some cases. And a lot of times we'll do the nutritional IV and follow it by the hyperbaric chamber. The hyperbaric chamber is a soft chamber. And I saw hyperbarics when I was in residency that we would see wounds that would not heal, no matter what antibiotic you gave them. And they would go in the hyperbaric chamber for a week and the wound would completely heal magically. So we have a soft chamber, which is the most efficient way to deliver hyperbaric oxygen. And we see that with the IV nutritional and the hyperbaric oxygen, we see sports injuries heal faster. We see the skin regenerate faster post-CO2 laser. And it just seems to be a 1 plus 1 equals 10.
Okay. And you mentioned the CO2 laser. What's that?
Well, that's a way of really regenerating the skin. It's interesting. A lot of the best skincare, you actually have to damage the skin to cause a regenerative effect so that it regenerates in a more healthy way. And that's a key premise here, because when you're doing something like that, if your underlying plasma isn't ideal and you don't have the substrates that you need for additional optimal outcome of the regeneration, then that process doesn't work as well. So again, it always surprised me how we have to damage the skin to regenerate that collagen effect to make it healthier in the long run. And it just makes sense that if you have optimal nutrients available, you have your hormones balanced, your digestive tract and your liver are functioning for detoxification, that you get optimal regeneration of the skin and an optimal outcome for nice, healthy, vibrant skin.
Great. So let's think of an example. So say I was a patient coming in to see you, or someone like me, and in my 40s, I'm a woman. We don't have to make this too personal, but especially since I don't really have any health problems to come in to see you. But you know what I mean? So I'm in my 40s. I don't want to look any older than I really am. What are some of the things that you would look for? What are some of the tests that you would do to help figure out what are the best places to start?
One of the things we just added recently to our clinic is a facial skin analyzer. It's EAMAE. It's an EMA facial skin analyzer where you put your face inside of a camera that looks at different wavelengths of light to analyze the skin at a higher level than the ambient room light. And it really gives us an insight into really where the true damage is. And most people are surprised, even myself when I did it, how much skin damage I actually have. And so it gives us a way to do a pre and post analysis, but also to let us kind of target where we want to address that. Again, we look at intracellular nutrients, looking at a micronutrient panel. We look at food sensitivities to see what foods are driving inflammation. And at the end of the day, inflammation is king and queen for your health. Inflammation is at the heart of heart disease. It's probably at the heart of Alzheimer's. It's the heart of driving insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome. And all of those things can affect the outcome of your skin health. In functional medicine, as you know, Trevor, they teach us how to do a physical exam the right way. Not the way we're taught in med school, but to look at the nails, to look at the skin, to look at the bumps on the arm, to look at the eyes, to look at the whiteness of the oral airway and the tongue, to look at the bumps in the tongue, the fissures on the tongue. Let the body tell you where your nutrient deficiencies are. And a lot of times you get a real good insight by doing that functional medicine physical exam about where the nutrient deficiencies are and where people need. Then some targeted testing to look at the food intolerances, the micronutrient deficiencies, and then the hormone imbalances. Most of us are bombarded by xenoestrogens and other non-healthy types of hormones that are in our food supply, in the dyes in our clothing, in our kids' clothing. There's just a lot of stuff out there that we're bombarded with, and our body's challenged with every day. The liver and the gut, at the end of the day, are the processors of that toxic exposure, and we need them to be optimally healthy. But balancing the hormones for vitality, for optimal skin health, and really trying to cover all your bases so you do an individualized approach.
Right. So when you're talking about let's go back to that physical exam that you were talking about, because I'm sure that's interesting to people, because it's, usually people go in to see their doctor and the physical exam is their height and weight, blood pressure, pulse, maybe they'll listen to their heart, lungs, and that's about it. That's right. What most doctors do. But you're talking about a much more comprehensive physical exam. What are some of the things that you look for on the skin Let's say the skin and the nails, in particular.
Well, it's interesting because when I start my physical exam, I don't have a nurse. All the time is with me. I do an hour for a new patient visit. It's 60 minutes with the doctor. Our practice runs right on time. Clients are shocked that it is so efficient. And I check their blood pressure first because I tell them, I'm going to check your blood pressure so I think I'm a real doctor. But then I'm going to tell you a bunch of stuff you've never heard before. And so we will look at the nails. We'll look for white spots in the nail, which is zinc deficiency and other nutrient deficiencies. We'll look for the ridging and the lines in the nail, which are malabsorption and other nutrient deficiencies. We'll look at the irises. We'll look for specific inclusions that sometimes give you a hint at where some of the other body dysfunctions are. Looking at the nail beds and looking at the cuticles, are they all red and inflamed? Are the knuckles inflamed? Is there a ruddiness to the cheeks? You can kind of walk through the grocery store, and as I know you have those skills too, Trevor, there's low estrogen, there's low progesterone, there's low testosterone, there's high estrogen, there's thyroid deficiency, there's zinc deficiency. The body really tells you a story if you know how to look at it. And the more you do this kind of medicine, the less you need to rely on fancy testing because a lot of times the low-hanging fruit is obvious. And so in my practice, we don't shotgun testing on the front end. We do targeted therapy on the front end and kind of clean up the house a little bit. Then we use a rifle rather than a shotgun. And we tend to get a lot better results. And what we're looking at is really where we need to go therapeutically.
Right. Okay. That's great information. And also with the skin, what if you see somebody with dry skin? What are some of the things that you might think of if you see someone with dry skin?
We test a lot of our patients for their omega-3 balance or omega-3 index. Most of us are low. You know, we're all fat heads, so we need those good fats in our body. We want our cholesterol to be at least 160 to make the essential oils we need to make the hormones that we need. So a lot of times the omega-3s, vitamin A is something we use quite a bit of in low doses. You've got to be careful of vitamin A, D, E, K. Those are the fat soluble ones. You can overdose on those. I've never really seen a problem with it. But omega-3s and vitamin A really are some of the crucial things we use to generate a good basis for producing good skin cells. There are some other proprietary targeted nutraceuticals that are flavonoids and coccids, as well as collagen peptidases and other things that help to spin that collagen regenerative cycle a little bit better. So that when you do have the skin turnover, which we all do in several days, every day of our life, every week of our life, that you have a better regenerative potential to have a better outcome for that regeneration.
Yeah, great. And what about if you see someone with eczema or dermatitis? Do you do anything differently for them?
Well, you know, most of the dermatitis in my area, we're all good friends because it's such a small community, but they don't really like me very much because I seem to fix the things they don't. A lot of people come in with fancy names, eczema, dermatitis, dermatitis papularis, psoriasis. They're all descriptive terms of what's on the skin, and they've had lotions and potions that do work short term, but they don't really actually fix it. One of my favorite stories is a elderly couple that came to see us. She had rheumatoid arthritis. After three or four visits, she didn't respond to her medications. And whenever someone has a diagnosis that doesn't respond to the medications, you have to challenge the diagnosis. Well, she actually had a parasite and an imbalanced digestive flora, and that's what was driving her skin joint inflammation. In the course of our visit, she told me about her three granddaughters who would never wear short sleeves because they had such bad eczema on their skins, and it didn't respond to any of the typical treatments. Well, they'd been tested for celiac disease from the traditional testing and tested negative, and that was given up on. And in my questioning of them, the grandmother told me that no, she never had celiac. They don't have any problem with gluten. Oh, but her three aunts all have sprue, which is the old name for celiac disease. And turns out we tested the kids for gluten sensitivity. They're off the charts by the new advanced testing called Cyrex, which is really the most advanced testing out there. And I got a picture 3 months later of all three girls in a tank top. This didn't involve any steroids, no medications, just food eliminations with targeted medical food smoothies, probiotics, vitamin A, omega-3s, and a complete resolution of their eczema. So it doesn't matter what the name is that the dermatologists give it. We're always trying to lift up the rock and say, what's underlying this? Why do you have it? And people really appreciate, even if you don't successfully fix the problem, at least you're investigating in a way that fits their belief system. They want to know why it's there, not just what it is and what lotion to put on it.
Yeah, it's so true that conventional dermatology is all about suppressing the symptoms of the skin and putting the antibiotics and the steroid treatments on topically or even internally is all about suppressing that symptom when actually it's usually a sign, right, that our body is out of balance and there's something else going on that needs to be addressed. So I think this all that this you're that you're talking about is really important. What are some of the other what are some of the dietary things that you think are really essential?
Well, you know, what we see in our practice is casein and whey and the gluten tends to be 80 to 90% of what causes the skin disorders in most of our clients. But I'm always surprised by some of the other unusual ones. And again, to be clear for the folks out there, we're not talking about food allergies, which is a histamine-derived immunoglobulin IgE response. That's the immediate allergy kids get when they eat peanuts and break out in hives. We're talking about a delayed food sensitivity or intolerance that works through a different immune pathway and is more of an intolerance than it is an allergy. And so again, I'm pleasantly surprised by other things that individually cause it, but it's typically the casein and the gluten proteins that really wreak havoc for most people. And a lot of times when we see the little bumps in the back of the arm or we see eczema, dairy will be one of the first things we get rid of. You know, there's really quite a bit of people out there that feel like the dairy protein isn't really a good protein for humans. It's great for baby cows, not really good for kids. And, you know, we're all worried about the calcium effect, which you get from your leafy greens and 50% more in coconut milk than in regular milk anyway. So I think it's really taking a look at what nutrition and what's individualized for each person to really see what they benefit from. And at the end of the day, I like the testing. It's not perfect. I use IgG food sensitivity testing. There's controversy on all tests that are out there. But at the end of the day, it helps me. And I could tell you, Trevor, that you have a dairy sensitivity based on the bumps on your arm. You may. If I show you a food sensitivity test where the bars are off the chart, that just seems to have a little more weight than the doctor's opinion. So sometimes at the end of the day, you've got to do the tests, and it just gives you a little more leverage. And we just tell people to do the 30 days, and we don't try to have them avoid everything or make it impossible to live like a vegetarian monk. But we make one or two changes, they get a little bit of success, and then they want some more. So success behooves success, and we have to provide it in a way for our clients that they can be successful with. And again, a little success goes a long way.
Yeah. What about foods that you think people should be eating for their skin to help improve skin?
Well, the easy answer to that is colors. My personal favorite is 5 or 6 colors a day. I don't really care what they are. But, you know, again, a lot of the good greens, and this is where organic food comes in. You know, I'm not sure if you get organic pasta, you're really helping your family that much. But if you're getting organic berries and organic apples and organic lettuce and spinach, I really think that that's where you want to spend your money on organic. I kind of tell people basically dairy, berries, and beef and meats. That's where you get your biggest bang for the buck in organic. But look at the Dirty Dozen. Look at the Clean 13. You can find both of those on the internet by Googling Dirty Dozen, Clean 13. Look at the foods that you really want to spend your money on organic. I wish we could spend it all on organic, but it becomes cost prohibitive for most people. But a lot of the good organic fruits and vegetables are not that much more than regular fruits and vegetables, and much less than if you're going to eat out. And the quality of food and the quality of food you put in your kids, it really shows on the skin. It really shows in the eyes. It shows in the teeth, the body, in the hair. I mean, that you can tell who's eating organic and who's not by when they walk in the office typically.
Yeah, yeah, it's so true. And that Dirty Dozen and Clean 13 that you were talking about, that's Environmental Working Group. So people can find that. We've talked about this before on the show on ewg.org. And there's some great tools on there. They do that every year, right? They update that.
Yeah, they do it. And typically it's the same ones. There's one or two that kind of shift around, but it is very common. And then hydration. There's 4 feet of snow behind me in the mountains, but this here in Jackson Hole is one of the driest places on the planet, surprisingly. And, you know, I've heard 1/2 ounce per pound of body weight, 3/4 ounce per pound of body weight of water. Most of us are not hydrated the way we need to be. We just purchased a scale that checks your body fat and your lean muscle mass, but also does your intracellular and extracellular water, which has been fascinating for me to find how many people think they're drinking enough water, but they walk in here dehydrated. And probably most of us are a bit dehydrated overall. So really watch your water intake and drink water, not Gatorade, not soda, not the adulterated waters. I love a slice of lemon in water. That's what I tell all my patients when they're out at restaurants or out eating or at a friend's house. When you're offered something to drink, ask for water with a lemon in it. It's a great way to alkalinize. And we send all of our patients home with pH paper to check their alkalinity. And I think if you run alkaline, You're not acidic, because if you're acidic, you're inflamed. And if you're inflamed, you're generating all those cytokines and free radicals. That's hard to have enough antioxidants to squelch them. And at the end of the day, that may be the most damaging thing for your skin.
Right. Okay. So you're talking about pH testing. Let's talk a little bit more about that, because that might be something that people are haven't heard of before. So how do you do the pH testing?
Well, one of the easy things is a lot of times on a blood test, the CO2 level can give you an idea basically where someone runs acidic-wise or alkaline-wise. It's kind of inverse. The lower the CO2, the more acidic you are, the higher it is, the more alkaline you are. Uric acid on a health fair blood test will also kind of tell you. Uric acid is really a measurement of purine metabolism, which is a type of protein, but it also gives you an idea of your acidity level, high uric acid. We use the basic pH paper you did in high school chemistry. It's $4.95 for 3 weeks worth of it. And there's a little scale showing the acidic range to the alkaline range, and it changes the color. We do a saliva and a urine first thing in the morning before food or water, and then we track it over time. And anytime you run more acidic, you look backwards 24 hours, what are you eating that might have driven your acidity? And it becomes very fun. We're very big in protein smoothies here. We use a pea-based, dairy-free, gluten-free, soy-free, egg-free protein, a little coconut almond milk, some fresh or frozen fruit. That becomes the start of the day for me almost every day for most. And they love it. They really do well. And it just gets them a good start in the day. And it starts them in a good alkaline base that really they're able to carry throughout the day.
Yeah, great. So what are some of the acidic foods that people are commonly eating that they may not even think about as acidic? I think a lot of people think, okay, so acidic foods, that means I should be careful about how much citrus I'm getting. So what are
And
some, yeah.
I thought that too in the beginning too. That's why when I tell people to put lemon in water, they kind of take a back step for a second. The nightshade vegetables, if you just Google nightshade vegetables, you'll get a whole host of those. And the naturopaths have known for years that the nightshade vegetables are inflammatory. And again, for me, acidity leads to inflammation. Inflammation's at the root of most disease. So you kind of want to back up. The tomatoes, peppers, potatoes, eggplant, those are kind of the big nightshades I see in my practice that help people with inflammatory arthritis. A lot of times, just removing those vegetables from the diet can make a profound difference in inflammation and joint pain in people. But again, like a lot of the natural things we do, Trevor, it's not a one size fits all. And the beauty of this kind of medicine is that it's an art. Giving medications for cholesterol or for blood sugar, it's really cookbook medicine. It's recipe, get out the prescription pad and write a prescription. I don't find joy in that. I find more of the art of medicine, connecting with an individual. Figure out what's unique about them biochemically that you can tap into and find that recipe for them that gets them to where they need to go. It's really a fun way to do medicine.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so great to have that individualized approach, and it makes it so much more interesting in practice too, don't you find? It's like every
Right.
day, it's every person that walks in, every patient is, it's like solving a mystery. What are we gonna find?
Yeah. It's interesting. A lot of my colleagues, I'm an MD. I train as an internist because I really wanted those diagnostic skills. As a little side, they taught us in med school, if you're a doctor and you hear hoofbeats, think of horses. If you dare to become an internist, you better know all the zebras as well. And so as a functional medicine doctor, I have that diagnostic ability to really be sure I'm not missing something medically. But at the end of the day, I'd rather be a naturopath. I love that model of medicine. The value behind the naturopathic medicine system of looking at nutrition first, individualizing care, and it's really a fun way to kind of combine the both. I'm licensed in acupuncture. I'm trained in Chinese naturopathics. I don't have formal boards in them, but it's a toolbox. And so when people come, we can open the toolbox to see what tool they need. And this is where medicine's going. It's why there's a functional medicine clinic in the Cleveland Clinic now. This is what people know will work. It's what's going to be the cure for our chronic illness. At the same time, though, it also helps your skin look better. It also helps you have more energy. It gives you more zest in your life. It lets you connect with your mate more, lets you have more energy to play with your kids. And we're doing anti-aging medicine here in Jackson Hole, as you are as well. But we don't want to be 120. We want to be hiking and skiing with our kids and our grandkids at 80 and 85. And there's no reason we can't do that. So it's really, what are we going to do today so we can have a handshake in 10 years and be really good about our decisions that we made? And along the way, why not have the most energy you can have and look the best you can look and feel the best you can feel? It's okay to have all of those.
Yeah, great. Awesome. So as a naturopathic doctor, people might have some confusion on what functional medicine versus naturopathic medicine is. And I have covered this a little bit, but just to be clear, naturopathic physicians, they could go to naturopathic medical school. Functional medicine usually applies to people that do kind of a naturopathic approach, but they have other degrees, MDs, chiropractors, other types of, but it's really pretty much the same. Functional medicine and naturopathic medicine are really pretty similar.
Very much so. I think what they're doing, the functional medicine, it's really a methodology. And in naturopathic school, you're taught the functional medicine. The naturopaths and the MDs have the same basic 4-year training. It's that we had to do the punishing residency, which, in hindsight, when I tell a lot of people, I think becoming a naturopath or nurse practitioner is a much healthier road to go. Because the residency really hones you to be a good diagnostician, but it doesn't do anything to make you a good functional medicine doctor or a good personalized medicine doctor. And we need just as many of those as we need primary care docs. So now I have a huge respect for the naturopathic model and the training. At the end of the day, the first 4 years are basically the same as the MD. It's just a different mindset, a different discipline, more focused on nutrition, which, Trevor, in medical school, I got at least 20 minutes of nutrition disguised as rickets and scurvy. Most doctors know very, very little about nutrition. If you look at the vitamin they recommend, which is one of the national brands, you can see how painfully true that is. So again, it's really been a pleasure working with naturopaths and with other, the DO school training. When I was in medical school, they didn't think much of DOs or chiropractors, but I've met some incredible osteopathic doctors, incredible chiropractors, and there's good lawyers, there's bad lawyers, there's good docs, there's bad docs, there's good chiropractors, there's bad. But there's good everything everywhere, and your job is to find them. Find a tribe of people you connect with that are healthcare professionals that you resonate with, and make that your tribe for you and your family. They're out there, and thankfully, there's more and more coming.
Yeah. And what you're talking about and seeing functional medicine doctors, naturopathic physicians, some of the things that people ask me about is how often do I need to come in? What should I expect to see? So let's talk about some of that. When someone first comes in to see you, how long do you spend in the appointment? And then what do you do for follow-up? When do you tell them they need to come back?
We were just discussing that in my team rounds. We have a team huddle every morning with my staff. When you come see me, my staff is friendly. They laugh. My clients talk to each other. It's not this sterile 45-minute wait for everybody. Everybody's rushed. Everybody's stressed. Everybody's angry. We don't have a waiting room. We have a reception lounge. There's a tea bar in there. It looks out over the Tetons. It's a very energetic, calming, safe, fun place to be. And people like coming to the doctor to see us. They don't like going to the other doctors. And my colleagues go home painfully tired and worn out from their day. I come home passionate and joyful that I was able to do this. And my energy is actually higher when I leave my practice than when I come in the morning. It's very interesting how you get buoyed up by your clients. And it's a sharing of energy that's really fun. If I make any mistake in my practice, it's my follow-up. Because we do a one-hour initial visit. We do a 30-hour follow-up. I'm sorry, a 30-minute follow-up. Typically, it's one or two follow-ups, and their condition is pretty much solved until they go off the wagon and fall back to their old ways, and they have to kind of come back and start over. But I do think that having a visit with a practitioner every 3 to 6 months, 3 at the maximum, when you're stable. When you're not, you need much more intensive visits. But 3 to 6 months, I think blood tests 6 to 12 months after age 40 makes sense. And I think the more advanced functional medicine testing you can do every year, every biannual year, just to be sure that you're kind of catching everything. But you don't need a $5,000 blood test every year. I think it's being very targeted. And I think a lot of our patients wish we would see them more, but if they're on cruise control, I don't know that they need to come see us. I just want to be very conscious of their time and their resources. We gave up on Medicare and insurance 8 years ago, and we don't have a billing office. And I find most of my clients, they have no problem with the self-pay practice because they get what they need from it. And you're a professional, Trevor. Would you really wait an hour to see a physician and waste an hour of your time and get 7 minutes with them and them not really know you? Or spend 30 minutes with me. I know everything about you and your family. I remember it all. We have a good connection. We're friends. And I care about you. That's really what people want, and they're willing to spend the money for it. And at the end of the day, it's not that expensive. Seeing me is the same as going to dinner with your two friends. So again, I think we're not making it cost effect. We're not making it cost prohibitive. And at the end of the day, it's very efficient delivery of medicine. That's why I love this whole functional medicine model.
Yeah, so true. And I think it's great. It's, you know, it's developing your relationship with your doctor, and like you said, having a team of people is fantastic. It,
Right.
and I think that, and I know I've said this before that to people that if you're not happy with your doctor, if you feel like your doctor doesn't listen to you, if you only get 7 minutes with your doctor,
Right.
you might need to expand your team. I'm not saying get rid of your doctor, because maybe that, you know, your doctor provides an important part of that team, but you might need additional people to, right, to be a part of that, especially for people who have chronic disease, and they, it's good to have a whole team of support.
That's a great point. And what I find a lot of times is clients will come in to see me as a consultation, and they're worried that it'll offend their primary care doctor. And what I tell them is that maintain that relationship. You have a history with that person. Let me be your consultant. Let me round the edges out for you and show you some things you won't see there. It doesn't mean I'm right and they're wrong. It just means I'll show you some other paths to get to the same end that may fit your belief system. And let me be your consultant. I have no desire to take over your care from your practitioner. Let us work together. And I think that that's really the model that works the best for most people. The problem is most of them eventually come to us, because they like this energy, they like this model, they like people who go to the conferences that you and I do, that stay up on the cutting edge, and more people are wanting this kind of medicine, and it's affordable.
Yeah. You mentioned your team. What are some of the other practitioners that you have at your clinic?
Well, I kind of pride myself in that I am the clinic, that you'll come see me. You won't see 15 other people. But we've developed a destination wellness model where people come to Jackson, they spend 3 days, they spend the mornings doing evaluations and the afternoons doing all the fun, exciting, beautiful things we have in our valley, fishing, skiing, hiking, horseback riding, climbing the Tetons. And so we have tools for analysis, the cognitive analysis, the skin facial analysis, the high-end nutritional analysis, the food sensitivity, the hormone testing, the micronutrient testing, our heart rate variability testing. We have some of these additional ways to get insights into your health that we're able to put into a package. And so I have individuals that kind of own those individual tests. They stay up to date. They go to all the training. They really own the testing and the delivery and the outcome. And they're the people that help me to deliver the follow-up with that. So again, we want to kind of get multiple insights into a unique individual so we can custom tailor a personalized plan for them. So we're having people come from all over the country. We haven't really advertised it yet. It's all word of mouth. And it's just exciting to see people wanting to know where they're going to head. And like I said, they want to hike with their grandkids when they're 85. And it's possible. That's the beauty of it. It's absolutely possible and probable if you work with a doctor like Trevor or myself.
Yeah, and places like Park City and Jackson Hole are absolutely gorgeous places to be able to do things like skiing and hiking and biking and all the great stuff that, I mean, I plan to do into my 80s.
Absolutely.
Right? Don't you?
Absolutely.
Enjoy the great outdoors as long as we can.
When I first moved to Jackson Hole 15 years ago, I was hiking up the backcountry pass, and I got passed by an older gentleman, and I was 35 at the time, and he passed me. And I said, "Sir, excuse me, how old are you?" And he turned around and said, "71, what's it to you?" And he kept going. And so at 71, he could out-hike me in the mountains. And I thought, that's who I want to be. So to everybody out there, that's who you can be as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Thanks so much for your interview today, Dr. Mark. Really appreciate all your information.
All right. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Okay.
I hope you enjoyed this interview with Dr. Mark Minellicino and learned some things about functional medicine and that inside-out approach to medicine and naturopathic medicine. So I'd also love to get your feedback. So if you could go to Facebook and send me a message about what you thought about this episode of the Spa Doctor Show, if you have any other ideas for upcoming episodes. You can also go to iTunes and subscribe or leave a comment feedback. And you can get more information about Dr. Mark on my website, drtrevorcates.com. Go to the podcast page with his interview, and you'll find the links to find out more about him. And thank you. Have a great day.